Hey, everybody, welcome back to a Husky Fan podcast, quick pregame fan edition. Jimmy, I just watched the UW video, the preview video that they always do, and I just lost it at the end of the video when Mario Bailey's talking, and then they show the 91 guy, the back of Steve Edmund, and they're walking in. I lost it. I just started bawling.
The Edmund.
Not ashamed to admit it.
Hey, of course not. That was an all-timer. And Edmund at the end there walking in was just phenomenal. You know, it is a night of emotions. Look, I mean, I'm here with Michigan Husky. We're in Dallas, undisclosed location. Going to hit the road in the morning. And he's got family in Michigan. These are diehard Michigan fans. It's an extended family member sends out an emotional tweet about this game tomorrow. About what, it's a 12-year-old kid watching Washington beat him in the Rose Bowl, and he got all personal and deep on everybody, dude. I think it brought a tear to everybody. It's that kind of night, man. We're on Christmas Eve, the biggest day of Husky football history in my mind.
Yeah. Wow, that's I don't know, brother. I mean, a lot is on the line. I know this has been an incredible season, one of our best ever. You know, if we win tomorrow, if we're talking about it in 24 hours, you know, potentially, arguably, our best season ever. I don't know, dude. I mean, is it starting to sink in yet? Because so much is on the line.
I'm trying to stay calm because before the Vegas game, and the Sugar Bowl, I had tremendous nerves, just tremendous nerves. And I'm trying to save my stomach for as long as possible because I'm sure it's going to ramp up very quickly, probably three hours before the game. So I'm trying to take in every moment. like I'm trying to take on DeBoer and what he tells the kids, like, be in the moment, keep things positive, don't go to the negative. I'm like, I was like having this premonition on the flight, to Dallas that I'm like a changed person with this team, because just because of the way of DeBoer carries himself, how it's how the team has embraced him and his style and his stoicness and his commitment to excellence and success, I'll tell you this, Jess. I was on the plane. I couldn't help having these visions come to me over and over of DeBoer and Penix raising the trophy with that million-dollar smile of Penix and that DeBoer grin that just like pierces you. And it's like I think about Rome. I'm just getting these Rome hits of him having a monster game. And I don't know if it's just bias or that's what I want to believe, but that's what I keep seeing, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, you called Braylon Trice the last game. So you think Rome, or your vision is that Rome is going to have a monster game?
Yes, that's my feeling. I feel like Rome's gonna have a monster game. The amount of work and effort and commitment that Penix and Rome, and I know the whole team has, but I read an article of Polk and Rome and Bernard going to wide receiver school. They're working with Vernon Adams, and like they're getting up at 6 a.m. in the morning, and they had all of the routes they're going to run planned before, so they weren't thinking about what they were going to do when they got to practice at 6 a.m. They knew exactly what they're going to do. The amount of commitment, effort, and just sheer will to come back and want this to become a reality, I can't even let it enter my mind that these guys can't get it done because of everything they've put into this. And the way that Rome played in the Sugar Bowl and the way that Penix played in the Sugar Bowl, they want this game so bad, and I just feel like they're going to live up to it. And look, they're going to give their best shot. And if Michigan comes out on top on their best shot, I mean, shit, more power to them, because I think these guys are ready to roll. I think they're going to put everything they can on this field, and I think Penix is going to ball out. I really do.
Hey, Tech, how are you?
Yes, sir.
How are you? How are you feeling? Just give your initial thoughts. Jimmy and I were just we're just talking about some of the emotions going into the game, but how are your emotions and what are you thinking about?
You know, I love where we're at. I love that we apparently have Booger once again talking about whether we can play big boy football. I love the fact that on ESPN Bet, the line has moved from 4.5 to 5.5 today. I love the fact that, I caught the back end of what Jimmy was talking about, and, kind of you think back to this season when the lights have been the brightest and the biggest performances have been needed. Oregon at home, prime time at USC against the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Oregon in Vegas, Texas in the Sugar Bowl. Our best players were our best players and played their best games of the season in those games. And when you think about everything that this group has put in, going back almost a year now when they made the decisions to come back, the hard part, we talked about this going into the Sugar Bowl, the hard part for this team was getting themselves in a position to be 12-0, to play Oregon in Vegas, win the conference. Once you got to that point, this is why they came back, to win the Pac-12 championship, to play for a national title. This is the fun part. This is why they came back. This is everything that they put in. It reminds me of, when you're in school and you're studying for that test or that final, and you walk into that test and you've got it all nailed. You don't walk into that test scared. You don't walk into that test worried that, a question's going to get asked that you don't have an answer for. You walk into that test not even caring what's going to be asked, or, because you got it. And what I see with this team is I see a team that, they may not always make it easy on themselves, but they always put themselves in a position where they've got the answers to the test. And, what I've looked into Michigan, I like the questions on the test.
I want you to follow up on that, but first let me bring Jimmy back, and if you have any follow up to that, Jimmy, if that brings out any more thoughts or feelings.
Well, I think Tech summed it up perfectly. This team has had the answers when the answers have been needed to be had, and the questioning of their toughness and their ability to play, as Booger says, big boy football. And Booger had Texas, Alabama, Michigan, Washington as the top four going into this. And what do we see? We see in his line Michigan, Washington, his bottom two. And
you can't be more wrong than that.
You can't be more wrong than that. That's right. I mean, that is dead wrong. And now he's questioning the toughness once again. It's shocking, but it fuels this team. And Josh Pate tweeted out, I think it was today, that he picked Michigan and a lot of Husky players thanked him for the pick, and he didn't know how to feel about it.
He'll know how to feel tomorrow night.
That's right. I just feel like the narratives built around this team and the game are just, they're incomplete. They're nonsense. They're lazy takes. And Michigan, Michigan can run the ball, and we know, Washington's had trouble with the run. We get all those things, but there's a lot more to it than that. And, going back through Michigan's schedule this year, I mean, look at the teams they played. Truly. Well, look at the schedule that they built this tremendous stats around. Like, yes, they have good players. I'm not doubting their talent level whatsoever, but just look at the teams that they played throughout the year versus who Washington played. I'm just saying that, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a shock for Michigan when they see that offense take the field. And when they give their best shot and can't get to Penix, you know, that's going to be like a little bit of an uh-oh moment for them. You know, if he makes them pay early on some early pressure, you know, it's going to change the complexion from, you know, Michigan's perspective on defense.
Or if they do, like maybe they get to him a little bit early, but then Penix just comes back and then they, you know, they can't get to him anymore.
Sure.
And then, you know, yeah, that's even more demoralizing or devastating.
Yeah, I mean, think about just the, you know, Texas thought they were going to get pressure and they didn't touch them all night.
Yeah, so let's talk about their I want to go through this quickly, but we'll talk about our offense against their defense. I mean, yeah, obviously they have a very good defense. I mean, I think in FEI it's number one or number two. It's probably a better defense than what Texas and Oregon have, but I mean, who knows by how much? This doesn't, you know, like Jimmy said, they haven't, you know, they haven't played. They've played like no passing offenses basically. So yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but I think reasonably you have to give our offense at least a slight edge. And so that's, you know, the question, you know, at least on that side. I mean, if we have a slight edge, you know, how much of an edge are they going to get? You know, no pressure like Texas or Oregon? Are they getting a little bit of pressure? Is there any way they can stop our passing game? I know there's like six questions in there, but I mean, what are your thoughts on our offense against their defense? Maybe kind of sum up some of the great tweet threads you've tweeted in recent days.
Sure. So, you know, I think, you know, if we go back to when we did the Sugar Bowl pod, you know, I went back and I watched some game film of Texas against, you know, teams that I thought maybe were, you know, comparable in terms of the questions that they asked of the Texas defense. You can go back to the Oklahoma game, TCU, you know, really looking for, you know, comparable athletes, comparable, you know, quarterbacks in terms of being able to, you know, make multiple throws, arm strength, quickness, and receivers, etc. With Michigan, I didn't even waste my time, because when you look at their schedule this year, there is nobody really on that list. And even, you know, Ohio State, yes, they might have the receivers, but their quarterback was so good that he transferred to Syracuse. So, you know, that gives me a little bit of pause in terms of how good the quarterback was. And, you know, the only other quarterback that I would say outside of McNamara that was worth anything was at Maryland, Tui's younger brother. And he's in the portal, and we'll see where he ends up. But I don't think it's going to be like at a top level school. It might be better in Maryland somewhere, but whatever. So the hard part is, like, to really understand Michigan's defense, I feel like you almost have to go back the last, like, 2 years. And there's this narrative that's been floating around that, well, Michigan's defense is built to slow down Ohio State. Well, if you go back to 2021 and 2022, C.J. Stroud was thrown for 350 to 400 yards both games against them. And you're looking at NFL wide receivers. I mean, it's a laundry list of who's who playing in the NFL now. You know, and we're talking about outdoor, late November, some snow football. I mean, less than ideal passing conditions. But the reason Michigan was winning those games had nothing to do with their ability to slow down Ohio State in their passing game. It had everything to do with winning the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball and winning the second half. You know, I had the ability to watch the Fiesta Bowl last year in person. You know, from the lower bowl, really good vantage point of the game against TCU. And within 5 minutes of the game, it was very apparent to me that TCU's speed was a problem for Michigan. And I think that is going to be something that, you know, first 5 to 10 minutes of the game tomorrow, I'm going to be very, very focused on is whether or not our speed is posing a challenge for them. And what Michigan wants to do, and if you think about Big Ten football in general, you know, they want to play in a phone booth, and they want to play in a situation where they're able to defend with numbers. And even in the passing game, you know, they want to be in a position where, you know, if you catch the ball, there's 2, 3, 4 defenders around to make a tackle, versus getting lost in one-on-one coverage. I can, you know, point everybody back to probably the key play in the Fiesta Bowl last year was, I think, a 3rd and 10 in the fourth quarter. And TCU ran a drag route with Quentin Johnson, first-round receiver in last year's draft. Caught it at or behind the line of scrimmage on a little bit of a pick play. But once he caught it, it was an 80-yard touchdown because they couldn't run with him one-on-one. They couldn't once he caught it, it was pretty obvious he was going to go. And that's, I think, the biggest problem that Michigan's going to have against us, provided that we're able to block, and I have no reason to believe that we're not going to be able to block. We're going to ask questions of their defensive backs. We're going to be able to isolate their defensive backs because of what we do. And, you know, I don't care what Michigan's doing with scheme or whatnot. There's not a single team that we've played where they've been able to scheme something up to take away our shots or take away situations where we put two receivers against a single defender. And whichever way the defender chooses, he's wrong. That's our scheme, and nobody's really brought anything to the table yet to suggest that that's not the case. And the only way that you really can do that is to really drop 7, 8 guys and force everything underneath, which is not what Michigan wants to do. Michigan wants to get after the quarterback. I think if everything is equal, I think they're going to try to bring 5, maybe even 6 at times and rely on their ability to get to Penix to slow him down versus trying to slow down in coverage. I mean, I think they will run the risk of trying to giving up big plays to speed us up. And that's kind of really where the rub is. It's, can we block them? And if we can block them, can they stay with us in coverage, which I personally don't think they'll be able to do. So I really like the matchup for us. A little concerned with a couple of our injuries. But that's why you have depth, and we've got plenty of depth, and I'm sure it would be a nice time to, if there is issues, I'm sure Giles Jackson would love to have a nice performance.
What injuries are you worried about outside of DJ?
Well, it sounds like Westover, has a little bit of a leg or lower body issue. Jeremy has a little bit of a lower body issue. So not necessarily at the top end of our lineup, but some of our depth, which –
pretty important for this game.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think of some of the lower, ways that Michigan's probably going to bring with blitzes and whatnot, the tight end delays, some of those little, quick 5, 6 yard stop routes and whatnot, those are going to be important for us to hit just to stay ahead of chains at times. I don't think it's necessarily anything that's going to keep Westy out of playing, but obviously anytime you have a nick or whatnot going into the game, there's always, concern that you get tackled the wrong way or whatnot. And
you're making me nervous. Comes...
Not trying to just, but here's the reality, Jimmy, everybody has nicks. Like even though we had a month off before the Sugar Bowl, like that gave enough time to, but everybody was still carrying stuff. Like, so it is what it is. Like
One thing I was going to mention, you're talking about, dialing up pressures and people haven't been able to stop us. And, Westy was interviewed by Softy, and he talked about the Arizona State game, bringing a lot of A-gap pressure. And they did learn, they did take away from a lot of that game. And they said, once they would see that again after that game from other teams, and they were able to handle it much better. So it's pretty much they've seen everything now.
Well, and it also, if you go back to that Arizona State game, you look at, what the offensive line was for that game. We were shuffling bodies.
Yeah.
I think we were in a much worse spot.
Well, didn't
coming out of that Oregon game.
Landon started the game. I mean, Landon started that game, I believe, at center.
yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, we poured everything, and I would probably argue the biggest lesson we learned out of Arizona State was not the A-gap pressure. It was the importance of not getting too high, not getting too low after any game, right? Like, you get out of beating Oregon, you left everything on the field, and then between injuries, flu, and, you know, just the emotional drain, of course you come into that Arizona State game super flat.
Let me jump in for a sec, because there's a couple more questions, and we want to make this quick.
Yeah.
So, because you mentioned speed. Now, I don't, you know, not that I'm blabbing, but third or fourth hand, I've heard that the coaches were rooting hard for Michigan, and that they basically think that Michigan is not, this is, you know, I think I mentioned this to you guys privately, like before the first games, they said they think we're going to beat Texas by one or two scores, and that Michigan's going to win. Michigan's going to win, and that Michigan won't be able to handle our speed.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, when I look at it, that Alabama-Michigan game, I think I even told you guys, you know, I thought Alabama was going to win, but I was hoping we played Michigan. And the reason was twofold. Number one, Alabama's got more dudes in the secondary that are going to definitely be playing on Sunday and are able to play at a reasonably high level, to the point where, you know, I think he'd have a little bit of back and forth in that matchup. And then the other thing that really concerned me about Alabama was, if you think of like what our weaknesses are defensively, it's playing teams that can be multiple and in particularly spread you out and attack with speed, which obviously Milroe can cause havoc with that. I'm less concerned about that with Michigan. I think we have a reasonable track record that if we can effectively narrow you down to like one and a half things that you do instead of everything that you can do, we generally have been pretty decent defensively. And I'm not like, Michigan's not going to, like, I don't think you have to worry about them going four wide and trying to spread the field. And like, actually, if they do that, we probably are really happy. Like, you know what they're going to do. Now it's just up to us of whether we can stop it. But, you know, every time we've been faced in that situation, we've, you know, been able to do it. And, you know, you could maybe even argue the game plan we used against Oregon and Vegas could possibly be a good one, right? Like, plant your heels at 10 to 15 yards. And if Michigan wants to go over the top, you know, and things that aren't tied to like flea flickers and whatnot, go for it. You know, I'll believe that they're going to go downfield a lot when I see it.
Can our run defense hold up in this game? Like, what's a magic number? I'm kind of thinking like it sounds ridiculous, but maybe hold them under 200 yards. Like, if they have over 200 yards, then, you know, that obviously wouldn't be a good, but if we can hold them to like 150 or 160 or something like that,
I would say like four and a half a carry. You know, one of the things that I noticed when I looked at Michigan's offense this year compared to last year, they are far less explosive offensively in the run game than they were last year. And I don't know what's going on with them per se, but, you know, if you go back last year, like particularly that game against Ohio State, Donovan Edwards was spectacular. And I think he's averaging like 3-something yards per carry this year. He actually kind of worries me just because he probably hasn't had a big game. He's got the kind of speed, if he's healthy and everything, you know, that could break away the long one. Corum's more of a, just, you know, kind of a NFL churn type guy versus a big play guy. You know, I would kind of equate them to a more talented version of what like Oregon State does. You know, just really wanting to, you know, grind you up on the ground. You got to worry, they have one receiver that's really good, Wilson. Their tight ends are an issue. The rest of the receivers, I'm largely Jags.
They don't make mistakes.
They don't make the least
penalized team in the country, and they don't throw picks.
And they kill you in turnover margin. So you got to stay close to them on turnover margin. You know, the quarterback is, you know, as you would expect of a guy with the decent pedigree and a year older, he's a year better. Like, they're a little more efficient in the passing game. But on the whole, their offense is like at best as good as it was last year, if not a little bit worse. It's the turn, like you said, Jimmy, it's penalties, they don't beat themselves, so it's hard to get them behind the chains. And then, you know, they create, you know, I think on average, they probably are plus two in the turnover margin most games. And so, you know, you get short fields and, you know, hidden yardage, and it really kind of magnifies what they do. And, you know, most teams aren't as talented with as them to begin with. So then everybody starts pressing, and, you know, that's why you get that boa constrictor that everybody talks about with them. But, they're not like a juggernaut talent wise, like comparatively, like it, this is not Alabama. This is not Georgia. This isn't even Ohio State.
Yeah. That, talent. Yeah. Yeah. Tech. I just want to jump in because yeah. That's another question I had. I was looking at something and yeah, Michigan has a very deep roster. You know, they have a lot, you know, lots of good players, master of the obvious there. But if you're looking, it doesn't seem like they have a Penix or they have a Trice or they have a Rome. And I'm sure they have a couple guys. But if you're ranking the top five or seven players, it seems like
we've got our
group would be better.
Yeah, we, you know, they've got a couple guys. I think like their top cornerback is like I think a sophomore, so he's not draft eligible. But they've got some guys that are, you know, probably coming up that are going to be day one, day two picks. But by and large, like the top end of our talent, like particularly if we're just talking about draft eligible this year, like it's a slam dunk that we've got way, way, way more high end draft eligible guys this year than they've got. And more importantly, they're all at like the positions that you want to when it comes to like influencing the game in terms of big plays and big play potential. You know, look at the NFL where money's spent on players, quarterback, receiver, DNs, offensive tackles. Well, that's where all our best players are. So.
I got a last question. Jeremy Bernard, like if Dylan Johnson, like if we don't have a real run game, like how are we just going to do short passes? I think Penix is probably, he's probably going to, there's going to be some design runs there.
There may be, you know, what I would probably recommend that we're doing a lot of, we're, you know, not necessarily that we're running jet sweeps with jet sweep action, but, you know, leverage, you know, a little more on the wide receiver pass game, leverage motion to get out into some, you know, safer passes that act effectively as runs. You know, obviously, I don't think it's a great idea for us to just, you know, drop back and, you know, put an X back there and have, you know, Penix take shots. So we'll have to be, you know, careful, but, you know, we have plenty of things in our passing game that allow us to go get, you know, 5, 7, 10 yards at a time, and allow for run after the catch. And, you know, one thing that never really gets talked about with our top end receivers is they're willing blockers. You know, and so I think that's something that we can definitely leverage if we need to. You know, obviously the tight ends get out and block well. So I'm not like particularly concerned. And the reality is even if we're not getting a lot out of the running back run game, like we didn't against Texas either, but the key is that we do it enough to at least make our opponent realize that we're going to do it. Like, you know, like the problem, like one of my Texas buddies was, you know, telling me all month we weren't going to run on him. And then after the game was like, see, I told you we wouldn't run. And I was like, okay, well, that's great. But you guys were at least playing in a way to respect our run to the point where our receivers were getting releases and getting you, you know, in bad leverage spots. And we threw for four or whatever on you. So congrats. You know, you stopped the run. Good job. So we need to make sure that we're doing that to Michigan enough where, like, we're keeping their linebackers, you know, we're forcing them to at least recognize the fact that we can run so that they can't drop extra guys back and take away the intermediate and then allow their safeties to take away the deep. Right. So we have to just make sure that the respect is still there.
All right, Jimmy, final comments, and then we'll go to Tech for a prediction.
Final comments, just win the game. Find a way to win the game. Yep. Bottom line. Everyone, leave it all out on the field. Come away with this game with no regrets. Vehicles to create the
ultimate. Anything else?
Well, I got interrupted by something there, Chest.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, like sorry.
I've been up since 1:30 in the morning, buddy.
That was ESPN autoplay. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Just find a way to win the game. Leave it all on the field.
There are no style points at this point.
Yeah. Do whatever you can. I think everyone will play, and they're going to give it all they got. It's all you can ask.
Yep.
All right, Tech. With that said, let's go to predictions. And you're the Ricky Henderson of predictions, at least for this show. Just rub your crystal balls there and tell us what you think is coming.
You know, the symbolic side, all the stars aligning in the world side of me, it would say that we win 34-14. But, that would be too perfect. I see us winning 31-24. I see it as a game that in some ways is very similar to what happened in the Fiesta Bowl last year. I think we will jump on them early. I think we will make them largely play a little bit of catch up. And they're still, I don't think there would be any other way for this team to go through a year without a little hang on to your butts in the fourth quarter. But in the end, we will make the plays that are necessary to win the game. The biggest keys to me is we have to stay. And this is, Jimmy, not to go full Dick Baird like I did last time about turnover margin, but with Michigan, it's 100% front and center. We cannot be worse than -1 in the turnover margin just because of how they play. Just can't give them short fields, easy scores, anything of that nature. And we have to be airtight in special teams. And notably, the one area that always gives me pause is that, and you guys know this, I'm terrified of a blocked punt. So we just need to be airtight in the special teams and not give up anything easy there, nothing easy in turnovers. And if it's our dudes against their dudes just playing football, I like the cards that we hold.
Another question for you. How much – I assume you think Oregon's better than Texas. How does Michigan – I mean, I guess, quick answer, how does Michigan compare to Oregon? Better defense, but not quite as good of an offense?
Yeah, definitely not as good of an offense. I think the fact that Oregon has – much more of an ability to stretch us both horizontally and vertically causes a lot more problems defensively than what Michigan does. Like the biggest concern that I have with Michigan offensively is, if you watch them play, they're going to run like one or two flea flickers a game or trick plays with like a throwback or something to create a big explosive chunk play. If you can get by without them hitting on one of those things, it's really hard for them to get explosives, and it makes it really hard for them to sustain drives and score just because their offense isn't designed to do so. So, if they can churn out 12 play drives and score touchdowns on us, congratulations, tip your cap, and they've earned it. But we just need to make sure that we make them earn it, and if we do that, we will win the game because we have – way more pass to create explosive plays than they do.
All right, Jimmy. I can't remember if you made the pick on our last pod, but even if you did, do another one.
Okay, I didn't make the pick, but I think Joey dangerously on hardcore said, how could this team, for everything they've done, get to this moment and not see it through? Nothing's ever like, you're not owed anything in life, right? You got to earn it. And it's so hard to imagine this team being denied. But They have a big obstacle in front of them, big test. And their mindset's 1-0 in every game. And them winning 21 in a row, and to text points of, we have all the best players where it counts the most. We have the best player on the field. And he wants this game like no other. And he said it at the end of the Sugar Bowl. He's got one more to go.
And he hasn't played his best game yet.
Yep.
For his, hasn't played for his best mouth. Game.
Yep. And that's why I feel like him and Rome and other guys, but I feel like Rome and Penix are just going to, they're going to will their way to a win. And the score that keeps coming to me is 34-27 dogs.
You know, Jimmy, to your point about a team that's earned it, you know, to win a title, you've got to battle through adversity. You've got to, you know, there are a lot of instances where the chips can be down, your back's going to be against the wall, and you've got to respond, and you've got to earn the opportunity to get there. And when you think of, you know, recent college football, I'm not sure there's a team that has earned their opportunity to be in this game more than this team. And that's got to count for something, you know, the scar tissue, the belief, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Michigan hasn't played a lot of close games this year. They haven't been pushed, you know, they weren't pushed a lot last year either. And when adversity struck, they didn't necessarily respond great to it either. It's got to mean something.
All right. Well, I hope. I wonder if they feel all the same things about, you know, Team of Destiny and all that. I'm not dispelling anything you guys are saying. Just,
I mean, Chess, their mindset is how important it is to drink, you know, shitloads of water. Harbaugh talking about how important the sleep before the sleep is. And their motivation for tonight in their pregame or their pre-team activity is to watch the movie The Accountant. Like, fine movie, but that's not really jazzing me up to go play football tomorrow.
You know? Do you think we have – this also gives us an advantage? I mean, Jim Harbaugh is an incredible coach, an incredible builder. However, he's lost a lot of 50-50 games like this.
And he's probably coaching his last game at Michigan, to be honest.
How do you think that impacts the players? Is that necessarily like a positive for the players? I mean, because remember, Urban Meyer, you know, he was coaching his last game. And I mean, that game against us, they almost blew it.
Yeah, it could go both ways. But I think it puts a tremendous amount of, like, particularly if Harbaugh, like, I mean, you guys may disagree with this, but I think he's a foot and a half out the door there. And I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure just internally with him of, you know, I might not have another chance to win this, you know. And I think that is going to permeate, you know, how you do everything in this week leading up. Whereas, you know, everything that I see with us is, you know, we understand the magnitude of the moment that we're in, but we're enjoying the moment. And, you know, we've worked really hard to get to this point. And this is why everyone came back. So what's pressure? Pressure is a privilege. Pressure means that you're doing something that matters. You know, our mindset in my mind is where it should be. And there's a lot of purple that came down. And, you know, we tend to be a boisterous bunch. So we'll see.
All right. We got to leave it there. We all got to get ready for tomorrow. Fantastic.
Well, you got to give your prediction.
I can't do it. I can't. I can't do it. I can't. I can't do it. But great job, guys.
Leave it. Give it all you got in the stands.
Yeah, give it all you got in the stand. Just enjoy it. Like Jimmy said, follow Kalen DeBoer. Just be in the moment.
That's right. Stay positive.
There's nothing to fear, you know, regardless of the outcome tomorrow. It's been a great ride and a lot of great memories that will last for a long time. And if everything goes right tomorrow, even better memories.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs, guys.
Go Dawgs.